Man, you are in the right place today. I do want to welcome you to Genesis Church. My name is Bodie Young. I'm the lead pastor here. And we've been in a series the last couple of weeks talking about looking at this issue of I-Man. I want to talk about it in just a second. On Friday, I posted on my Facebook that I had an appointment that evening for my first tattoo. And I had several comments, I had several suggestions, and one of which said, make sure it's not a girl's name. And I think after 22 years, I probably should, that might be the first thing. But, you know, the things that I saw, some people said, you know, get this, and get that. But I don't have any tattoos presently. Tattoos sometimes represent things about their owner, don't they? I mean, sometimes there's something special. I mean, some people just get random things for tattoos just because they like the looks of it. But many times people get tattoos because of something they want to remember, something maybe unique about their personality, maybe something from their past that they want to remember. It might be that special someone. You know, it might say, you know, mom on it or something like that. I mean, you see people put different tattoos for different reasons, but it's because many times they represent something about the person that owns that tattoo. Did you know that that same principle applies when talking about the followers of Christ? When you think about those that name the name of Christ and says, I am a follower of Christ. I have given him my life. There are some marks. There are some tattoos on our lives that represent God. And that's what we've been talking about these last couple of weeks. This series, I've been talking about I-Man. And of course, you know, there's an optional model available. It's called I-Woman. I-Woman is obviously the more expensive model. But it's because she has a higher memory capacity. She can remember every time you were wrong. She can remember every time you did something stupid. She also remembers all the important dates, guys, that you and I frequently forget. But the only drawback is she only alerts us until it's too late to do anything about it, after we've already forgotten it. Additionally, the I-Man model only has two accessories, whereas the I-Woman model comes with 180,000 accessories. But I mean, when you think about what it means to be a Christian, if somebody has some identifying marks in their life, if they're a Christian, I want to read a simple verse, a single verse. We're going to look at several today, so you got to follow along with me. I hope you brought a Bible. If you didn't, most of the verses will be up on the screens for you. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, I want to read this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I like that word new. The old is gone, the new has come. Everybody say new, new. I want you to think about that for a moment. If somebody truly gives their life to Christ and their life is changed, what Paul is saying is they have a new life, a new beginning, a new start, a new lease, a very brand new, and literally he calls them a new creation. I like that because, you know, the creation makes you think of the beginning. And a lot of people, they get to a point in their life where they wish they could go back to the beginning and start all over. Paul says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we're talking about some identifiable marks of a new life in Christ. 2 weeks ago, I talked about how the very first thing that should identify us as Christians, it's outward. Because, you know, a tattoo is outward. It wouldn't do any good to get a tattoo on the inside. It'd be probably a lot more painful, and no one would ever see it. But here's the deal. Tattoos typically on the outside. We want people to see them, at least some of them. And then we see those marks on the outside. Well, when you think about a new life in Christ, guess what's going to take place? There's going to be some new marks on the outside. There's going to be some new features involved. There's going to be some new things about you that are going to be different. I know on January 24th, 1990, when I gave my life to Christ, I'm telling you, God instantly, radically changed me. Now, there were some things that took a while to work out. I mean, there were some things I dealt with, but I'm telling you, from the moment I said yes to Jesus, there were some things that changed in my life automatically. Well, Paul talks about, and kind of give you a little context real quick, the two letters to the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians that Paul wrote, was in a response to the fact that the people in Corinth had come to kind of Not only disagree with Paul, but they start saying, you know, Paul, he's just a ruse. He's just a charlatan. He's just trying to profit off of this gospel of this Jesus guy. He's just doing it. He's just in it for the money. In other words, that preacher, all he wants is my money. And they start challenging him, you know, because he was kind of came later on in life. He was not one of the original 12 disciples, and a lot of people challenged the fact that whether Paul was an actual disciple or an apostle or not. And because of that, he had to write this letter. You know what's incredible about that is that these people are some of the people he led to Jesus. He went and planted this church in Corinth. And when he planted that church and he equipped some of those disciples and he left that church there and he would frequently send other people back and forth and he would try to visit it often. Some of the people that were challenging him were some of the very same people he had led to Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody taking you to the water of life? And you suddenly taste that water and your soul is restored and healed. And that same person, suddenly you just be anti that person, negative, and make yourself against that person. So Paul was having to defend himself to some of the very same people that he loved dearly. And if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll see it come through time and time again, how much his heart's broken, how much he loves them, how much he's poured his life and his and everything into them. But when you read this, what Paul's saying essentially here is that, you know what, one of the first things that marks the life of a Christian is integrity. And I talked about that 2 weeks ago. It's foundational. The integrity issue, it covers every issue in our life, whether it's in our families, in our relationships, whether it's at work, whether it's in schools, wherever we go, integrity is key. And Paul says, you know what, he says, look, those that would accuse me of just trying to make a profit off the gospel, he said, you can look at the evidence of what I've done. He said, there's integrity through and through. And you understand that's foundational. Last week, I talked to the men specifically. Paul talks about how we should take the initiative, how we should be leading out. And I talked to the men specifically about being men of initiative. Now, I'll tell you what, God came down last week. As God had something for us guys to remind us that we should take the lead in it. So, ladies, I want to share something with you this morning. As women, here it is. Listen to it, ladies. As an I woman, as a woman identified with Christ, your life is to be marked by inspiration. Your life is to be marked by inspiration. You see, men initiate. We kind of start things, don't we, guys? I mean, we like to start things. We're not real good at finishing them sometimes. You can look at all the projects around our homes that are unfinished and know that. But, I mean, we love to start stuff. Our wives will say something about, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. And, of course, we want to jump in it with both feet. We kind of tear everything out and get everything ripped up, and then we just kind of let it set for a long time. We're good at starting things. Men initiate. You know what women do? Women inspire. Think about it. Men initiate and influence. They use authority. They use leadership. They use power. They use strength, and they try to influence and initiate. Women inspire. Now, obviously, there are men that can inspire. There are women that can initiate. But by and large, what you see take place is women, you know, we call it manipulation, but it's actually, that's when it's gone wrong. It's not it's manipulation when you're doing it for selfish and personal reasons. But women have the capacity to inspire. Think about it. Check me out on this if you don't believe me. Somebody name me some love songs. Name me a love song that I would actually know. Somebody, come on, tell me. Tell me a love song you know. What is it? Always and Forever. Is it about a man or a woman? It's about a woman. Somebody else name one. Take It to the Limit. Take It to the Limit. There you go. Is it about a man or a woman? Who sings it? There you go. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Don Henley was not singing to one of the other guys. He was not singing that to Joe Walsh, I'm pretty sure. I know a little bit about music. That's my era. I'm actually showing my age. But think about all of the art. Think about paintings. Think about poetry. Think about music. Think about all those things. And what is normally the majority of the subjects? Come on, guys. There you go. Why? Because women have the capacity to inspire. I mean, and it's not just a few women, it's almost any woman. And I'm going to show you that is very biblical in just a moment. I want you to follow with me here in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read several verses. Just back up a couple of chapters to chapter 3. I'm going to read this, and you're going to go, what in the world has that to do with anything? But follow along. Listen real closely to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, listen to what it says. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Now you say, wow, all those words, glory and glorious, what is he talking about? Let me give you real quick some Old Testament history and a New Testament principle all wrapped into one. Let me tell you the history. If you go back to Exodus about 34 or 35, you'll see where Moses has led the people of God out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. God said, I want you to bring the people out of Egypt. I want you to take them to this mountain, and here they're going to worship me. So he brings them to this mountain. Moses goes up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to get the law, get the word of God directly. He goes up on the mountain. He spends all this time up on the mountain with God in his presence. He gets the stone tablets. That's the letters written in stone that Paul's talking about. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the law of God. God gives that to Moses. Moses goes down on the mount, goes down from the mountain to give that to the people. Well, when Moses gets down from the mountain, he doesn't realize it, but because he's been in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, his face is lit up. He's literally glowing. Now, ladies, sometimes, I mean, y'all look incredible. We use the word radiate. You're radiant. Well, think of Moses as actually glowing. I mean, think of glowing. He goes down. Well, Aaron, his brother, sees him and all the other people, and now they suddenly like, what's up with Moses over here? They're scared. I mean, they're scared. They're thinking, what is the deal? We've never seen anything like this before. Well, what happened is his presence, him being in God's presence, was reflecting off him. And that glory was showing. And so when he would go down, he realized, okay, you know, everybody's kind of scattering. Man, you know, what's up here, you know? And he finally figures it out. So what he does is he puts a veil over himself. So every time he goes up on the mountain, he's with God. He gets that glory. He comes back down. He puts a veil over. But what happens is that glory begins to fade. After he comes down from the mountain, after he gets outside of the presence of God, man, y'all are going to follow me in just a second, aren't you? When he comes down and gets outside of the presence of God, that glory begins to fade until eventually it's gone. He goes back up on the mountain. He's with God again. He comes back down. You get the process. That is what Paul is talking about. But what Paul is saying, he said, you know how in the Old Testament, when Moses went up on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, that law written in stone, those letters written in stone, he took that down to the people. And he said, and he glowed. He said, but that glory that was showing off Moses, it was fading away. He said, but do you know what we have? He says, he's talking about a New Testament principle. He says, you know what we have as followers of Christ? He said, we have the very Spirit, Holy Spirit of God living within us, so that that glory that showed in Moses, it's been made perfect in Christ. And now as believers, we should glow all the time. It's not one that fades away. It's one that is in us for eternity, that he has placed his Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus in Christ, that Spirit in us begins to glow. It begins to radiate to the people around us. I'm telling you, what is inside of you will come out. What is inside of your heart will come out of your mouth. It'll come out of your actions. It'll come out of your choices and the decisions you make every day. What's inside will come out. So if Christ is inside, guess what should come out? Christ. I'm telling you, it should show. And you say, what does that have to do with women being inspirational? Let me tell you something. There is something about a woman that has the capacity to show, to inspire others. She has that capacity that God placed within her as originally created woman that, you know, I think you know this, but let me remind you, men and women are different. God created us differently. There's not one more important than the other. There's not one less important than the other. There's not one superior and one inferior. Just remember always, we're different. And one of the things that God placed within Eve and has placed it within every woman is that deep desire to inspire, that deep desire to be beautiful. When you look at the Old Testament, And it talks about how that Moses had that glory of God on him. And now in the New Testament, because Christ lives in us, the glory of God comes out. Literally, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, the Sermon on the Mount. He said it this way, plainly and simply, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are light because Christ lives in you. If he has changed you and transformed you, you are light to the people around you. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 5:8. He said, you were once in darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You see, and for a woman has that capacity to radiate unlike a man. I mean, listen, guys, we want to look good. You know, we spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. It took me forever to get this haircut today, to get this hair right today. With all this excess heat and humidity today, you know, it was just a tough deal for me. And men primp, you know, they do everything. But ladies, have you ever noticed they take an extraordinary amount of time to get ready? And it's not just for the outward appearance. That is for an internal reason that I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Because God placed that there. Women, ladies, you have the capacity to inspire. I mean, you think about the beautiful, incredible women that have inspired our arts that I mentioned a while ago. I mean, you think about it. You think about the capacity for women to inspire and to be inspirational for so many things. And it's because God has placed that in you. I want to talk about this inspiration for just a moment. I want you to see, first of all, ladies, it's internal. It really is. It's internal. In that verse in that passage in 2 Corinthians that I just read about this glory, he says this. He said, will not the ministry of the Spirit, in verse 8, be even more glorious? What he's talking about, he said, it was glorious that God met with his people. He said, he gave them his law. And that's incredible. Do you know what? We have the Old Testament because God did that. And I'm telling you, when you think about how the Old Testament, how the law of God has impacted this world in the several thousand years since God handed it down. And when you read the Old Testament and you understand how it's transformed the planet, do you realize that in the country you're living in today, the United States of America, most of the laws that were written, most of the founding fathers, when they sat down to write out the Declaration of Independence and they began to write out the governmental laws of this nation, do you know what reference they use more than any other reference? The Book of Deuteronomy. The Book of Deuteronomy was one of their biggest references. I mean, you think about the capacity. So you can see how Paul talks about the glory of that Old Testament, the glory of the Old Covenant, the glory of the law of God being handed down to his people, God meeting with his people and saying, this is my word to you. This is what I have set up for you. And then when you see the New Testament, Paul says, look, it's the ministry of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. He says, will not the ministry of the Spirit, in other words, the Spirit of God living in us now, be even more glorious? It's an internal thing. Here's the deal. What's inside always comes out, as I said a while ago. It's internal, ladies. The inspiration, the capacity that you have to inspire those around you, it is internal. You spend all of your time talking about the external, and it comes out of a deep desire to inspire. It's something that comes from a woman's heart that she wants to inspire those around her, that she wants those around her to be impacted. And here's the deal. He says the ministry of the Spirit will be more glorious. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:3. He said, ladies, your beauty should not come from the outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. You know, somebody, a lot of times you read these verses and it talks about, you know, your beauty shouldn't be outward. You shouldn't do your hair and you shouldn't wear jewelry. And a lot of times they say, well, is it a sin for a woman to wear makeup? And I'll quote the late Adrian Rogers on that one. He said, I think it's a sin for some women not to wear makeup. Plain and simple. But what Peter is saying, he says, your real beauty, your real capacity to be radiant, to inspire, it's not focused on the outward, though that's what we see with the eyes. He said the real beauty, he said the most incredible beauty, he said the most incredible capacity for you to inspire those around you is the inner self. You see, it's internal. Think about that inspiration, ladies. It's internal. Think about this. It's increasing. Godly inspiration is increasing. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I've noticed something having a wife and a 20-year-old daughter. I notice that they don't just put on their makeup. They don't just fix their hair once every week or two. They do it daily. They reapply. They put it back on. They redo it. They fix it up. Each day they're doing something to reapply. And you think, say, what does that have to do with anything? Listen to what he says in verse 9 back in 2 Corinthians about this glory, about this inspiration, about this radiant beauty. He says, if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? He says, listen to this. He said, if that ministry, he says, it's the law of God that condemns men. Because, you know, Paul said, he said, had I not known the commandment that said, thou shalt not covet, he said, I wouldn't have known sin. He said, here's the deal. He says, the law of God condemns us because it tells us that we are unrighteous. It tells us that we are not holy. It tells us that we are imperfect before God. It reminds us that God is holy and perfect. We are unholy, imperfect. He said, the law of God condemns. He said, but if that law brought so much glory, he said, you think about this. He said, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? In other words, in the New Testament, when you see Christ and you accept Christ and he comes to live and take up residence inside of your life, he said, isn't that even more glorious, the fact that you don't have to go to a temple to meet God? You don't have to go before a high priest. You don't have to go before somebody and say, would you go to God and pray for me? Can you intercede between you, between me and God? Because Jesus has already done that. He did it. Bible says he did it once for all and sat down at the right hand of God. He made intercession, but it says he ever lives to make intercession for us, that he's constantly going back and forth. He's brought us forgiveness through the cross. He's brought us new life through the resurrection, but he is constantly there by God's side, constantly making intercession for us so that we no longer need an earthly priest to do it for us, that we can go directly to God because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And he says, listen, he said, if that old one that was condemning to men is glorious, he says, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? In other words, it's increasing. It's increasing. Listen to what Peter says in the second part of 1 Peter 3:4. He says, he's talking about that beauty being inward, not outward. He said, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. I like that word, unfading. It means you don't have to keep reapplying it. If Christ is in you, listen, ladies, if Christ is in you, the inspiration that you have the capacity for to inspire the people around you is constantly increasing. You don't have to keep reapplying it. You don't have to keep reapplying it like you would the outward beauty. It is something that glows within you, that grows within you, that continues to bloom and blossom. You see, this is the perfect time of year. We're starting to see flowers bloom and everything, and it's beautiful. Spring and love is in the air. You know, all those things. But you know, when fall and winter comes, guess what's going to happen? It's all going to die out again. It's all going to die out again. But the inspiration, the capacity, ladies, for you to inspire the people around you, the inner self of Jesus living inside of you is unfading. It is continuing to increase. It is continuing to have a multiple effect. Listen, not only is it internal, not only is it increasing, but I want you to know it's eternal. Listen to what he says back in 2 Corinthians 3:11. He's still talking about this glorious old covenant and this even more glorious new covenant. He said, if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? It's eternal. In other words, I don't have to do anything to maintain it because Christ lives within you. Ladies, I'm telling you, you do not understand the power of God that lies within you to inspire those around you. I'm telling you, I've watched some. I've got a friend, and I only get to see her from time to time. And actually, a couple of you in here know her. Glory Hamilton is one of those ladies that absolutely inspires the people around her. I love seeing someone that is in her senior years that is absolutely still in love with Jesus and a joy to be around. I mean, an absolute joy. She inspires those around them. And perhaps maybe you can think of some ladies that are inspiring to you that you think, man, you know what? That's somebody I want to be more like. And what Paul is saying here, he says, look, he said, that old glory, he said, it was great. It was glorious. He said, but man, every time Moses kept coming off the mountain, it kept fading away. He said, the glory we have in Jesus and the Holy Spirit taking up residence in us. He said, it's increasing and it's eternal. He said, it's the glory which lasts. It's the glory which we don't have to keep going up on the mountain, keep going up on the mountain, coming back down. He said, this is the glory that lasts. This is the inspiration that lasts. This is the beauty of God at work in us that lasts. But I want you to see, lastly, that it empowers you. You see, it's not about who you are. I talked about that earlier. The difference between inspiring ladies and manipulation is the motive. It's all the difference, you know, because guys, you know, we talk about how women try to manipulate us and stuff, but, you know, secretly we love it because you're showing us attention for whatever reason. But if you're doing it for personal gain and only personal interest, it's manipulation. But there's a capacity for you to inspire. I mean, you walk into a room, ladies, and I mean things change because you're there. And the Holy Spirit, if you are in Christ, Paul's saying, he said, that glory that's in you, he said, listen to verse 12. He said, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. It empowers you. You've seen those women. They can walk into a room and they command attention. And some of you, you want to be that woman. I got good news for you, ladies. You have the capacity to be that woman. It is there. God put it there from the very beginning. It's part of the makeup and the DNA of who he made you to be. It's been clouded there by sin in the garden. It was overshadowed. Paul understands that because the Holy Spirit lives in him, he has a responsibility to share that hope with others. But more importantly now, he said, because the Spirit of God is in me, because we have this hope, he said, we are bold. It empowers you. I love, listen to what he says earlier in chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I'm almost done. I'll wrap this up. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. Is that starting to bring it a little bit more home to you about, ladies, how you can be an inspiration to those around you? It's like an aroma. It's like a fragrance. He puts it in terms we can understand. Did you know the sense of smell is the strongest sense tied to memory? It is. Your sense of smell will trigger more memories than any of your other senses. And I know that to be true. I find, you know, you'll think, you'll hear, my daughter Emily, and I don't know if I should tell this. Actually, it's fine. She smelled a smell yesterday evening. She said, you know what that smell reminds me of? She said, when I was little and I used to wash my Barbie's hair, she said they had a particular smell for some reason. After I'd washed their hair and rinse it out, their hair smelled a particular way. And she smelled that smell yesterday evening. It reminded her when she was a little child. She's 20 years old now. That sense of smell, it leaves a lasting impression. Ladies, the inspiration that you have the capacity in Christ to give out that radiance, that fragrance, that aroma, it has a strong, lasting effect. Don't ever doubt it. But you know what the struggle for women is? The struggle for women is one of competition. Last week I talked about how men should initiate. They should lead out. They should step out and lead. And I talked about the struggle for them was one of two extremes. When you think about a man leading, we have the tendency to do one of two things: to be overbearing or to be passive. We're overbearing, we want to be the boss in charge over everything, we want to tell everybody what to do, or we set aside like Adam did in the Garden of Eden when Satan come and spoke to his wife Eve and tempted her, and we stand there and we do nothing. We sit passively by. Do you know what the struggle for women is? The real struggle for women is about competition. The competition is this. It's that a woman's deepest question in her heart. The deepest question, ladies, and I bet you would back me up on this. Growing up from a child, from a little girl, as a teenager, as a young woman, that deepest question is this: am I beautiful? Are you captivated by what you see? That's the deep question. And it can haunt her all her days if she doesn't get that answer. It can haunt her all her days. A woman instinctively knows that she is to be beautiful, that she is to be inspirational to those around her. And that instinct makes her wonder if she really is beautiful and inspiring. So the drive for her is to be beautiful. My good friend Darby Lane, sitting here this morning, can back me up on that. She owns Paul Mitchell Salon right here in Atoka. Women want to be beautiful, don't they? And it doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how tall, how short, what their physical features are. Every woman wants that. She wants to be beautiful. She wants to be radiant. She wants to be beautiful so that someone will look at her and say, you have worth, you have value, you are beautiful, you're captivating, you inspire me. Your appearance actually, consider this. If you doubt what I'm saying, consider this. These are 2009 numbers. I didn't even get 2010s. 2009 numbers. Facial care in the United States was a $4.9 billion business. Facial care alone. That does not include skin condition. That's facial care, not skin care. Makeup, $6.2 billion in the United States alone. $6.2 billion of makeup in 2009. You'll love this one, Darby. Hair care, $7.4 billion. You add that up, and you're starting to hit $18, $19 billion. And that doesn't include hygiene products. That doesn't include toiletries. It does not include skincare products. It doesn't include any of those. Those are facial care, makeup, and hair alone, almost $20 billion. You tell me, and I know some of those products are for men too, but you tell me, by and large, you know they're mostly women. Women want to feel beautiful. They want to. God put it within them to be inspirational. That haunting question. There's an internal struggle for a woman to be beautiful, but because it usually manifests itself in her external appearance, she still deeply will not be satisfied. Because even if she's beautiful outwardly, she knows what's going to happen one day. She's going to get older, and there's nothing she can do about it. That eventually that beauty will fade. But the capacity of the Spirit of God living in you, ladies, is the capacity to be beautiful, to be inspiring to those around you, not only today, but tomorrow. It is unfading. It is unchanging. It goes on and on. And the capacity for you to influence and inspire those around you through Christ and the Spirit of God, it goes on and on. And there's this struggle that exists for ladies. They want to be beautiful. They have this deep desire to be beautiful, to inspire those around them. So they work on the outside, the outward appearance. But deep inside, they know that's still not quite enough because they know that's only temporary. And the Spirit of God is saying, look, I've got something. I've made you even more beautiful than you could ever imagine on the outside. I've made you more inspiring than you could ever possibly be. And it's not to say don't do anything with this, that this is wrong, but there's a competition that goes back and forth. Think about this, ladies. The Spirit of God inside of a woman telling her she can be an inspiration to others apart from her external appearance. I want you to do me a favor, real quick. Ladies, I want you to come down here and join me for just a moment. Oh, now everybody got scared when I said that. Come down here and join me. I'm not going to make you do anything. You're not going to have to say anything. I'm not going to make you sing, or you're not going to have to do any special. I want all the ladies in this room to join me right down here right now. I'm going to try to make plenty of room in this floor. Man, praise Jesus. Y'all just come down here. Just to make it easy, I'm going to see it. I don't know if we can squeeze everybody in here. Gosh. Guys, you ought to just give a round of applause for that right there alone, son. Man. Lord, have mercy. The reason I did this, some of you were here last week, and I did this for the men. The reason I want to do this is because that question still lingers in some of your lives. Hopefully, your father, if he was there, if circumstances or other things didn't take him away, or if he just didn't know any better, hopefully your father spoke these words into your life. But if he didn't, I want to speak to you right now, this morning. I want to speak to you as I do to my daughter, as a father would to a daughter. I want you to hear something very clearly. Look me in the eyes, lady, every one of you. I want to make eye contact with you. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. You are captivating. When people walk around you, they know you're an inspiration. You glow. You radiate. It is not based off your age, your physical features, your height. It's not based off your hair color, your eye color, your skin tone. It's not based off all the other 90 things I cannot think of because I'm a man and not a woman. I'm telling you, you are captivating. You are worth. You have value. You are worth treating like a princess. You are valuable. If your earthly father did not tell you that, I want to tell you, as I do to my daughter, you are a princess. You deserve to be treated with dignity, with respect, as a beautiful, beautiful woman. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't let Satan lie to you. Don't look at that person in the mirror and hear the things that you don't like about yourself. God created you. He formed you. He made you. He has brought you here. The things you've gone through in your life that may have robbed that from you and stole that from you, I'm telling you, you're valuable. God loves you. If you don't think you're valuable, let me remind you, He bankrupted heaven to purchase a relationship with you. He gave His own Son on a cross so He could have an intimate relationship with you and so He could answer that question once and for all. You are valuable to me. And it doesn't matter what the world tells you or what the world's standards are. I'll remind you, the world's standards change all the time. What's beautiful today is out of style tomorrow. But the radiant beauty that God has placed within you as a capacity of a woman, you are beautiful, you are valuable to Him. Don't let any man or any circumstance or any person tell you otherwise. You need to hear that. I want you to hear that today as a father would to a daughter. I want to speak to you for just a second as a pastor. You have what it takes to be that inspirational woman of God. If the Holy Spirit, if Christ lives in you, if you've surrendered your life to Christ once and for all, settled the issue of ownership and say, God, I am yours. I give my life to you. He lives inside of you. You have what it takes to be that beautiful, inspirational woman of God that your heart longs to be. I speak as a pastor would to you. The Holy Spirit within you is unfading, unchanging, never ending. Those women that you desire to be like, use them as models, model yourself, but you're not trying to attain to what they have attained. You be the woman of God He's called you to be, and you have what it takes to be the woman God has called you to be. Now, I spoke to these men last week as a brother, and I cannot speak to you as a sister, so I'm going to ask my wife to.
How many of y'all know I have social anxiety disorder and a heart condition? This is not, it's hard for me. I'm not near as eloquent as Bodie, so I won't do it quite the way he did, and I wrote mine down. My best girlfriends know that my hero is Ruth, and that my favorite verse in the Bible is Ruth 4:14. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a kinsman redeemer. Ruth was a widow. She was a foreigner. And basically that meant that she had been robbed of her identity. And she entered into a land where she was absolutely nobody. Nobody. And when Bodhi asked me to speak to you as sisters, most of y'all know that I don't have a sister. I had one. So it's a privilege to be able to do this. One of my most favorite things about Ruth was in Ruth 2:13 when she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, for you have comforted me, and you have spoken kindly to me." Ruth was highly favored. She was so favored. She came there as nobody, but soon met Boaz, who stole her heart and was favored. I can't look at my mom. I love this part because she was allowed to go and pick up scraps. She couldn't even go and get the good stuff. She was allowed to go pick up scraps off the ground from a rich farmer. And his name was Boaz, and he saw her from across the way, and he fell in love with her. And he sought after her. And so in Ruth 4:13, he says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Not only was she favored, but she was family. She became family. One who had none became family." My favorite is that Ruth became part of our future. Ruth 4:22 says, "Obed father Jesse and Jesse father David." How many of y'all know what came from David's line? Then came Jesus. So you are favored, you are family, and you are future. You have exactly what it takes to change the world around you. I know most of y'all, and I know the kind of influence that y'all have over my life. You have exactly what it takes to change the world around you, to be a person of influence, and to be a person of inspiration. And I wrote this before I heard Bodhi speak this morning. So we were kind of on the same page there. But that's who you are, and I love you guys.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray over you, ladies. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Guys, I want you to just reach a hand out here. Reach a hand out as I pray for them. Oh, Father. Father, I pray that you would restore in these women what the world and Satan has tried to rob from them. He is a thief. He is a robber. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So, God, I'm asking you to restore in these ladies this morning what's been robbed from them for so long. I pray that you would remind them they are of great worth and value in your eyes, that you deeply love them, you're madly head over heels in love with them, and that you desire nothing more than an intimate relationship with them to restore them to the full beauty in which you created them to be. Lord, our outward appearances, they'll waste away with time. But Lord, these ladies' heart and their soul and all that is within them, Father, through the power of your Spirit, has a capacity to influence and inspire this world around them. Father, I pray that you would show them that favor. God, I pray right now that you would remind them that you desire to bring them into your family. And I just want to stop with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you a point blank question. No one's looking around but me. Do you have an intimate relationship with God? Have you ever said yes to Jesus? Has there ever been that time in your life when you got, you know, you bowed your head, you bowed your heart, and you surrendered your life to Him? Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you're standing here right now and you say, "Bodhi, I'm not sure, or no, I've never done that. I've never surrendered my life to God." I want you to do me a favor. You say, "Bodhi, I know for sure I do not have a relationship with Him, or I'm just not sure." I want you to do me a favor. Slip your hand up right now. Anybody? Just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Because this is the perfect time to get it right. Father, I come to you right now. And I ask you to bless these ladies. I pray, God, that you would use them as the women of God you've called them to be. God, I pray that you would raise them up in the middle of whatever situation and circumstance they're in to be the woman that inspires those around them to follow you. That their beauty would radiate from the outside, but it would radiate even more powerfully from the Spirit of God, Spirit of you living inside of them. God, I pray they would change their families. Lord, I pray they would change the people that are around them. That, Father, they would walk out of here today and the people would know there's something different about them. And it's because of you, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would shower your blessing on them. God, as the world tries to constantly tear them down, God, I pray that you, as you promised to be in your word, to be a shield and a protector over them. Father, I pray as a man that I would be a shield and a protector for them. That I would protect their integrity and their honor. That, Lord, that these men that are in this room would do the very same thing. That they would surround these women and protect their integrity and honor and defend them. And Lord, we know it's usually not the physical that needs defending. It's usually the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just absolutely flow from every part of their life and their body. Lord, remind them this week over and over again how valuable they are to you and how much you love them. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen.